These little ones, and as long as we can focus on them, I think God's going to bless us. See, choir, if you could wait until I get... Oh, no. Oh, thank y'all. Thank you. He's going to just keep on. We're going to go down. I'm excited about tonight. I think it's going to be great. I hope that you'll come and be a part of that. I'm excited to looking forward and in great anticipation to hear those testimonies tonight, and also to get to participate in the Lord's Supper. Here we are this close to Easter, and we get to participate in this wonderful communion with one another and with the Lord. And the Lord said, you continue to do this until I come. And he's given that charge to the church, and we'll continue to do that. So as we look forward to Easter, to me, there could be no greater time of celebration than this wonderful time of Easter. So we're going to be the next, this Sunday, this coming Sunday, and then the next Sunday is Easter, that we'll be looking forward to that. I'll be preaching through the events that lead up to the resurrection, and then, of course, as we celebrate on Easter Sunday morning, the early service, we will be talking about the resurrection then. But until then, the events that led up to that. And this morning, I want us to look at what I believe one of the greater events that leads to the resurrection, the preparation for his burial. And it is the anointing of Mary. I love this story. It is just packed with significance in our lives as Christians, and leads to the resurrection. I love the cross. And I love to preach on the cross. I don't know if I do it as much as I should. I actually almost dread it. That is so hard. And when we think about the price that was paid for our sin. But as the songwriter said, when he's talking about the cross, it became beautiful to him. And so we're going to be talking about the cross next Sunday, and then we'll go from that to the resurrection. Your enemy and my enemy would try to convince us that our situation is without hope, or the situation of our families. For many of us, we become more concerned about the ones in our family than we do ourselves sometimes. And we need to do that. We need to be concerned about that. We need to be praying for them. And the devil would try to convince us that there's no hope in that situation, but there absolutely is. I just want to choose to be the son of the king. But the devil keeps trying to convince me I'm a pauper. And so I have to overcome that, and you have to overcome that too. And consider yourselves as the child of the king. My father is rich in houses and land. He owns all the wealth of the world in his hands. And it's not the wealth part of that I think that we need to be concerned about, but the spiritual blessings that he has for us as joint heirs with Jesus. Take your Bibles and turn to John, the 12th chapter. John 12. and verse 1, and let's stand together as we give reverence to the reading of God's precious and holy word. Then Jesus, 6 days before the Passover, came to Bethany, where Lazarus was, which had been dead, and whom he raised from the dead. That kind of sets the backdrop for this story, doesn't it? There they made him a supper, and Martha served, but Lazarus was one of them that sat at the table with him. Then took Mary a pound of ointment of spikenard. Now look, pay close attention here. Very costly. Most scholars agree that the cost of this spikenard that Mary had poured out on the feet of Jesus would be equal to a year's wages. Now put that in this scenario. The cost of a year's wages. You have anything that would compare to that you could carry in your pocket? Perhaps a home, an automobile, a piece of ground. But that would be equal to a year's wages. And she anointed the feet of Jesus. Now continue to listen very closely. And wiped his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the odor of the ointment. Then saith one of the disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, which should betray him. Now the enemy is coming out of the woodwork now. And when people serve the Lord, this is what happens. Why not this ointment sold for 300 pence and given to the poor? This he said, not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief, and he had the bag, and he bare what was put therein. And he must have been dabbling in that, huh? Then said Jesus, let her alone. Against the day of my burial hath she kept this. Now, I think that he's speaking to us here in lots of different terms. For the poor, always you have with you. There is always someone that you can minister to. There's always going to be folks that you can minister to. The poor, you have with you always. But me, you have not always. That is, in the bodily form. Much people of the Jews therefore knew that he was there, and they came not for Jesus' sake only, but that they might see Lazarus also, whom he had raised from the dead. But the chief priests consulted that they might put Lazarus also to death. That's still going on. Because that by reason of him, many of the Jews went away and believed on Jesus. Father, we come before your throne and pray that you would anoint today. Lord, help us to draw water deep out of this well, that it might refresh our soul, that it might change our lives. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. The place is Bethany. Even though Simon is known as the leper, obviously he's not a leper now, or he would not be allowed to be in public. So he must be past that. And we don't know very much about Simon the leper, but that there'd been such a change in his life, obviously, that he opens up his home to minister to Jesus and the disciples. And by the way, anybody else that wanted to come, because you notice that Lazarus and Mary and Martha were there. So his life is totally changed. So who was there? Well, Jesus' enemies were there. His foes were there. Judas, the thief and the betrayer. This character of Judas, who is willing to sell out the Lord for money. I think that there are folks in the church this way. I'm not saying here in this congregation, maybe there is. But money means everything to them. It's really their God. They're doing it for their own well-being or for their own agenda. Then there's the religious leaders. These are his enemies. Now you think about that. When Philip preached to the Ethiopian eunuch, he had been to Jerusalem. He'd been to the place. He had been to the religious center of all things. But he did not find Jesus. Right where he should have found God, right where he should have found the Lord, he was at that place that he should find Jesus, but yet he did not find God. He didn't find Jesus. But he found Jesus on the way from that place. When someone explained to him what the Old Testament meant, when Philip said, this is talking about the Savior. When folks come to Osage Baptist Church looking for God, they ought to be able to find God. They ought to be able to find Jesus here. They ought to be able to find Jesus in you and in me. So, the religious leaders, they're always a foe to Christianity. Religion in itself is always the enemy of Christianity, what is right and what is true, because there it offers that does not save. It offers that does not change lives. Religion says, give to me. But Christianity says, I'll give to you. The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. In this same book, in chapter 11, verse 47 and 48, they said, if we do this, the Romans will come and take away, will come and take our place in our nation. They're not interested in what was right or wrong as long as they did not lose their place. Another group is here in this group, and I love this. This is Jesus' friends. I want to be the friend to the Lord, don't you? Abraham was called the friend of God. What a place to be. And these were Jesus' friends. Mary, Martha, Lazarus. How did they get in that place? How is it that they were invited to this supper? His disciples were there. Simon the leper was there. Then there were curiosity seekers. These people came to watch rather than worship. You know, and I want to ask myself this question this morning as I ask you. Why did you come? I mean, really, did you come prepared to worship? I have to be cautious, or there's many things that steal that from me, steal that worship from me, or even that attitude that I have come to worship. I've come to get the very most that the Lord wants to give me. I want to get that out of the service. But there are 10,000 things that steals that from me. Things that are going on in my family, in my own life, in at the house. Just all kinds of things that would steal that worship from me. Woman asked her husband right after church, "Did you notice how Miss So-and-so was dressed this morning?" And he said, "No, I didn't notice." And then in a little while she said, "Did you notice how Miss So-and-so had changed the color of her hair again?" "No," he said, I didn't notice. What about that new couple that came in? He looked like he was twice or three times her age. And it's all cuddled up there on the back seat. Did you notice that?" He said, "I never noticed." She said, "You didn't get much out of church today, did you?" So there's these curiosity seekers, and these come to watch rather than to worship. So I want us to dig into this and draw deep out of this well that the Lord has given us today. Three aspects of the Christian life. There is in that of Martha of service. Now you remember the story of Mary and Martha, don't you? When Jesus was teaching and Martha got mad at Mary because she is always at the feet of Jesus and she is having to do all the cooking and the planning and washing the dishes and everything. And she comes to Jesus and said, "Why don't you tell my sister to come in the kitchen and help me?" And Jesus said, "Well, you're worried about some stuff that's not going to make any difference." You remember what he said? You remember how the King James, "You're cumbered over a lot of stuff. It's not going to make any difference." But Mary's chosen the good part. She chose the part at the feet of Jesus. But now, Mary is here. I mean, Martha's here. She's back. She's here. She's come to this supper. She is probably serving because that's what she wants to do. She's serving perhaps because that's her gift. She's washing and cleaning and laying out, but her attitude is totally different. She's not mad at Mary the entire time because Mary's not helping. And she has not allowed herself being mad at Mary to steal her joy from doing the dishes. Because her brother has been raised from the dead. Do you get the picture? Would that change your life or what? Amen. I mean, her brother has been raised. They buried him. He should have been stinking by this time. But he comes up out of the grave. Her life is totally different. She's serving in a different way. And then we have Mary. And she teaches us about worship. Mary is teaching us about worship. I think Brother Matt has brought us a long ways in worship. I love it. I love it. And then Lazarus, he's there. Why is he there? Well, he's like Vance Havner. And when Vance Havner stood up and he said, "I'm glad to be here." Of course, he said, "At my age," he said, "I'm glad to be anywhere." Well, Lazarus, he's glad to be anywhere. I mean, the Lord raised him from the dead. I think that he went every chance he got. I mean, that changed life. That changed his attitude. I've had several folks to tell me after they've had a heart attack how that will change your perspective on things. His perspective was changed. Martha's heart for service now is different because she's seen Jesus raise her brother from the dead. Mary has been at his feet long enough to want to pour out the most valuable possession that she has on his feet. And here's the resurrected Lazarus. I love these people, don't you? The resurrected Lazarus. He was dead, and now he lives again. What about you? What about me? I mean, really? Really? Dead and back to life? The Bible says that we were dead in trespasses and sin. But because Jesus died on the cross, he's brought us to real life. He's brought us back to life. The religious leaders wanted Lazarus dead too, and I want you to know they want you dead. They want you quiet. I got a feeling Lazarus didn't keep quiet. As long as Lazarus was alive, the resurrection was undeniable. You see, there's a portion of the world that's they can deny Christianity because of the way that Christians act. They fail to see the change. And friend, they ought to see it in you and in me. And especially your family and my family should see it in me. There's this commitment on Mary's part. Verse 3. A pound of spikenard, very costly. She anointed the feet of Jesus, and she wiped his feet with her hair. Can you think about that? What would it be for us to come to a place that we were willing to pour out the most valuable thing that we possessed on the feet of Jesus? You're talking about coming to a place of worship. You see, you and I don't have anything that's going to last very long, but yet we keep holding on to it. The things that you count as value right now, 10 years from now, you're not going to count those as value at all. That old car's going to wear out. It's going to rust out. It's not going to be worth anything. That house you live in, it's going to deteriorate. Matter of fact, stop fixing stuff and see what happens. It's not going to last. Your health, your bank account, you come to a place that none of that stuff is of any value whatsoever. It's going to be, the only thing of value is going to be that we have poured out on Jesus. I want us to look finally at the contrast of undevotion here. What does it mean to be undevoted? Well, Judas is an example of that. He's the one for 30 pieces of silver would betray Christ to a murderous crowd. Why was it not sold and given to the poor? And I want you to know that it's not that the Lord is against giving to the poor. I think the Bible says he that giveth to the poor lendeth to the Lord, and he will repay. and he will repay. It's not that he's against that. He's for it. Anytime, I've been noticing in the scripture, all through the scripture, there is a group that the Lord pays very special attention to, that we are to take care of, that he has mentioned to us several times. These are the folks that you are to pay special attention to and take special care of. You know who they are? The widows and the orphans. The widows and the orphans. Now, if you're not in that category, people don't need to be taking care of you. You need to be taking care of other people. If you're not a widow or an orphan, you need to be about the business of taking care of the widows and the orphans, not expecting somebody else to take care of you. Amen. So here we see that there's this group that have their agenda, that they want to control the purse strings. They want to control your purse strings. They want to control how you spend your money and where you spend your money at. And usually it's going to be because it's going to be of some benefit to them. Just as Judas was trying to control what the money that he had in the bag. He was obviously the treasurer that he had in the bag. That he was controlling where that was spent. And probably dipping into it himself. The Bible doesn't say that, but man, that's what he was interested in. He didn't say, I'm going to betray Jesus to you, and then he's going to become the leader of the nation because he's going to break loose and he's going to destroy the Romans. I've heard people say that's what Judas had on his mind. That's not what Judas had on his mind. Judas had 30 pieces of silver on his mind. I listened to a preacher preach that tried to preach that Judas was saved and he just fell off the wagon. Well, I'll tell you what my Bible says about that he was a devil from the beginning. He was lost as a doorknob. And that's how his life ended. Now let me close with these two statements. You cannot be too extravagant in your giving to the Lord. You can't be. I can't be. There is no way that I can be too extravagant in my giving to the Lord. I think that you and I have to be cautious about the decision making that we do. But when we're actually giving it to the Lord's work or to the people that God has instructed us to give it to, there is no way that you and I can be too extravagant in that way. Now you think about it. When we get to give to God's causes, I never do preach on giving. I mean, just very, very seldom. We don't need your money. God absolutely doesn't need it. But I'm telling you that you and I need to give it to him. When we give to his cause, then that opens the window for him to bless us. I can't imagine what Mary's life was like after. The Bible doesn't say what happened afterwards. But see, and we may look at it as, well, God gave that back to her financially. Probably not, because see, that's how we look at stuff. But in a spiritual way, We got a lot of grandkids. A lot of them have some big plans. They're going to go to college and make a lot of money. And I hadn't told them it's all going to evaporate. But you know what I'd rather see? I'd rather see them sitting on a 5-gallon plastic bucket and eating out of a sardine can and serving God than making a bunch of money. I'd rather them do that than to be a doctor or a lawyer or anything else. I would rather see them sleeping in a tent in a homeless commune than in the biggest mansion there is in the world and have a doctor's degree or something else and not serving God. Because the world has got this all turned around. You see, where the real blessings are at, it's not in finances. It's not in folding money. It is whenever the Holy Spirit is pouring out His blessing on us through worship. That's where the real blessing is. And I think that the biggest part of the time we spend too much time trying to gain the financial and too little time trying to gain the spiritual. He did this not because He cared for the poor, but because He was a thief. That group that Judas is in, they're blinded by their own self-interest. They can't see the truth of the word. My fear is that the church might have that a little backwards too. I think we've got a nice place to meet. Don't get me wrong. I can't help myself. I like air conditioning. I like clean water to drink. I really do. And about every 3 or 4 days, I like to take a shower. You do too. But now listen to me. I brought a guy in here Saturday, and I was showing off. No, it wasn't Saturday. It was Friday. Thursday or Friday. I don't know when. It doesn't matter. But I was showing him around the building, and he kept saying, "This amazes me. This amazes me. It's way out here in the middle of the country." I brought him in here. We come through the back door, and that nice foyer was all laid out, and I was thinking when we were coming through the door, boy, this looks good. And I showed him the auditorium, and I said, this is where we meet. Man, he said, this is amazing, way out here in the country. You know what we'd be better off with? I'm not saying let's get rid of this. Don't get me wrong. We would be better off meeting in some kind of old tin building with used tin on it and reaching people for Jesus. If this carpet on the floor and these padded pews and this air conditioning is going to keep us from reaching people for Jesus, we don't need it. I'm not against it. Don't get me wrong here. I mean, I think it's nice to have a soft place to sit. But we sure want to be cautious about where we set our focus at in the building. I pastored a church where some people got bent out of shape because I was giving the kids suckers that would sing in our little group, and they was getting the suckers on the pews, and they got bent out of shape over it. They would have rather the kids not been there than they got the suckers on the pews. I want to tell you something, folks. I'd rather have the suckers on the pews than have the kids. And I'm not going to say go back there and stick your sucker on the pew for somebody to sit in. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying that if we are going to be Marys and we're going to pour out our extravagance on Jesus, then we don't need to be pouring it out on ourselves. And I'm real bad to pour my extravagance out on myself rather than on Jesus. Let's stand together. If you're here today and do not know Christ as your Savior, I want to give you an invitation to make a decision for Jesus this morning. If you're here and God's dealt with your heart about some other issue in your life, and you need to recommit your life to the Lord, you have a decision you need to make, make that today. Or if God's dealing with your heart to become a part of this fellowship,